This is The Guardian.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Glioblastomas are an extremely aggressive and fast-growing type of brain tumor. The average survival time after diagnosis is just 12 to 18 months, which is why the news of a vaccine that has shown promise in fighting glioblastoma is so exciting. The trial was conducted in just 4 people, but the researchers found that the mRNA vaccine rapidly reprogrammed the immune system to attack the tumors. And this comes right off the back of the announcement of another trial of the world's first personalised mRNA vaccine for melanoma, a kind of skin cancer.
The treatment, which uses the same mRNA technology as some COVID jabs, works by telling the body to hunt down cancer cells and prevent them from coming back.
Vaccines that can prompt our bodies to fight cancerous cells is a thrilling prospect. And the development of these life-changing therapies is now making serious ground. So today on Science Weekly, how do these vaccines work? And could they one day cure cancer altogether? I'm The Guardian's science editor, Ian Sample, and this is Science Weekly. Professor Alan Melcher, you're a clinician scientist at the Institute of Cancer Research in London, where you study how to activate the immune system so that it recognises and attacks cancer cells. This is such fascinating work. Can you give me some background first? I mean, how long have researchers been trying to deploy the immune system to fight cancer?
So we've known for a very long time that the immune system can attack your cancer, but how to direct it to do so in a safe and logical scientific way, if you like, has been a real challenge. As long as 100 plus years ago, people were trying to use treatments to activate the immune system to attack your cancer. And there was something called Coley's toxins right at the beginning of the 19th century, which were actually sort of bacterial extracts, which did indeed activate the immune system and could help patients and shrink tumours. The problem was that in those days it was very, very toxic. But what's happened since then is we've understood a lot more about how cancers and the immune system interact with each other, and that's now allowed us to generate much more well-designed treatments. The first drugs came through for the immunotherapy of cancer, which were antibody treatments, sort of 10 to 15 years ago. They work for many people, although by no means all, but they work by non-specifically activating your immune system. They're not particularly targeted. And that's where we're trying now to move, if you like, into the next stage of building on the current promise to get still further with things like cancer vaccines.
So when did the idea of vaccines come into play?
So again, to be honest, it's been around for a very long time. So cancers are not normal. Of course they're not. So in the same way that your immune system can see a virus and you can get vaccinated against a virus, potentially you can train your immune system to recognize and attack a cancer in exactly the same way. However, the real challenge there is that the whole principle of vaccination works on recognizing an antigen, so something like a virus or a tumor, that should not be in your system, that need to be recognized and eliminated by your immune response. And although tumors are not normal and they are different, they, of course, are more like your normal self than a virus. So we talk and think about having to define and recognize antigen targets, which we can vaccinate against to activate your immune system for sure, but to make sure that the target is specifically cancer and therefore safe, and you won't cause a lot of, if you like, scattergun immune reactivity against your normal body, which will cause toxicities.
Many people, of course, will now know about mRNA vaccines after the pandemic. Did the surge and the effort that went into mRNA vaccines then actually benefit the cancer field?
Undoubtedly. So COVID, of course, was a very, very difficult time, but it absolutely galvanized the whole vaccination industry. And indeed, one of the main biotech companies, BioNTech, which developed the COVID vaccine, was initially a cancer company. They were thinking about using these approaches for anti-cancer vaccination and are now investing significantly into taking what we've learned from targeting the COVID virus antigens into applying that into the cancer vaccination setting using equivalent mRNA technology, which we now know to be feasible and also importantly to be safe.
Take me through how these anti-cancer vaccines are supposed to work in terms of what's happening inside the body when someone actually receives one.
So the most established approach is to actually define and specify the antigens that you're trying to target. And you can take a tumor out of a patient and sequence it so you know what is in that tumor. So you can see in the DNA where there are mutations which are specific to the cancer, which generate abnormal proteins. In other words, potentially abnormal cancer antigens. And you can make an mRNA vaccine specifically against those so-called neoantigens, new antigens. And then the vaccine is given, and within your body, you then will generate an immune response against those antigens, which are in the mRNA, which are in the vaccine, and that will help trigger your immune system to specifically go after the cancer in a more effective way as the driving force, if you like, of the therapy.
So these mRNA vaccines that are now being trialed in patients with melanoma, they are by definition personalized. Doesn't that make them actually just sort of prohibitively expensive?
Yeah, it's a good point. And in fact, if you're going for the very personalized vaccine, where you're saying, well, look, every tumor is completely different, not that long ago, I would have said, hang on a sec, that is surely just impractical. It'll take too long and is prohibitively expensive. However, for example, the early promising data in melanoma has shown that, no, it is actually possible and feasible and also affordable, not cheap, but manageable. So we are now in the clinic having a number of trials where a bit of tumor is taken from a patient, sent off to a laboratory, and a bespoke individualized vaccine can come back to treat that same patient within about 6 weeks or so.
And what's the thinking on which types of cancers these vaccines are likely to be most effective for?
Where we are with the current immunotherapies, the non-specific drugs, antibodies that we use, the most success is in those tumors which are already immunologically active. And what I mean by that is, although the tumor has grown and has therefore evaded the immune system, there is still that battle going on. The immune system is still trying. Another way that we talk about these sorts of tumors are immunologically hot tumors. And those hot tumors are easier to turn back into the immune system, if you like, winning the battle. And those are the tumors like melanoma and lung cancer. But there is, for example, promising data in pancreatic cancer, one of the most resistant. In brain tumors, these are types of immunologically cold tumors where our immunotherapy strategies so far, the non-specific ones, have really failed to work. So we need new thoughts. And that, I think, is where vaccination is particularly exciting in the very difficult to immunologically treat tumours such as pancreas and brain tumours, where obviously the need is enormous.
And how effective, ultimately, do you think these vaccines could be? I mean, would they need to be used in conjunction with other therapies?
Generally, they will need to be used in conjunction with other therapies, including other immunotherapies. So if you can get your vaccine to start things going and kickstart the whole system that the immune system responds and starts to have a go at the cancer, and then you can come and boost that with a more non-specific, bigger kick, if you like, I think those sorts of combinations are the way to go. And indeed, those are the trials that are going on at the moment. The other thing to say, in part to what you were asking, is we know that in general, and this applies to so many types of treatment, the more advanced a cancer is, the more difficult it is to treat, the greater suppression your immune system is under. So in general, getting in early with cancer treatment is the most promising approach. And again, the early data in melanoma was treating patients to prevent it coming back rather than trying to turn the tide on a very advanced tumour.
Traditional vaccines obviously confer protection for, you know, an extended period of time. And I'm wondering, would these vaccines do the same? I mean, if someone had one of these mRNA anti-cancer vaccines, would it be possible that they were protected from future tumours developing?
It's a good point. And the short answer is we don't yet know that. I think one thing I would say in general terms with immunotherapy in relation to things like chemotherapy is that if you can kick off the immune system and kickstart it to recognise the tumour, to recognise its antigens, the tumour will continue potentially to try to evolve. It'll continue to try to escape. But the great thing about the immune system, it is also plastic. It can also evolve. It can change. As the cancer starts to try and move away and to establish itself again, your immune system can track it and potentially recognize new changes and keep them under control. So if you can get things right and give the immune system its best chance to get going and get things under control, it can continue to do that over many, many years. Whereas the sad truth and reality of particularly standard chemotherapy in advanced cancers, be they lung or breast or whatever, it's very, very difficult.
And just finally, Alan, to look even further ahead, do you think it's going to be possible ever to produce a preventative cancer vaccine? I mean, one that could perhaps stop cancerous cells before they develop into a tumour and cause disease?
I think indeed it could be. We are now able to use potential things like liquid biopsies to pick up tumour DNA in the bloodstream before that cancer is even detectable on scans and so on. And those sorts of technologies allow you to think about screening people, identifying tumours that are at very early stages of development, and making these sorts of vaccination strategies against them and essentially prevent them becoming established using these type of vaccination immunotherapy approaches. So prevention is always better than cure. And I think the earlier that you can pick things up, the more likely they are for your interventions to help.
It's all fascinating stuff. Alan, thanks for coming on. Really good to hear it.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
My thanks to Professor Alan Melcher. You can read more about the melanoma mRNA vaccine trials on theguardian.com. This episode was produced by Madeline Finlay. The sound design was by Tony Onochuku. And the executive producer is Ellie Bury. We'll be back on Tuesday. See you then.
This is The Guardian.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.